Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
The 23rd of September, 2023, a Saturday, of course. Famous possibly for the fact that Michael Carrick's Middlesbrough will be battling against Southampton at the Riverside. But maybe there's something even more exciting than that as far as Saturday, the 23rd of September, is actually concerned. And it's all to do with Groundwork UK and Tesco and Stronger Starts and a whole heap of other things and a very special Golden Grant. And to talk about the Golden Grant itself, from Groundwork UK, we're delighted to welcome back to the programme, Graham Duxbury. How are you, Graham?
I'm very well. Great to be here again. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, I know you're probably sort of not too concerned about what happens at the Riverside in what could well be seen as almost a relegation six-pointer between Middlesbrough and Southampton. So let's talk more about something very positive, which is, of course, this wonderful event that's taking place, community grants, etc. And for those people who don't know what Groundwork UK is, what is it?
So Groundwork's a charity that helps communities to take action on the issues that matter to them. Whether that's the state of their local environment, facilities for young people, or just activities where people can connect with their neighbours, get to know each other, improve their quality of life. And what we do is support those local groups and organisations to make sure they've got the funds, the confidence and the expert advice they need to address these issues for themselves.
Now, supermarket shoppers, of course, those heading to Tesco in particular, are being given one golden hour to win a share of £500,000 for their local school or community group, as we said, this Saturday, 23rd of September. How do they actually go about it? Is it a case of go to Tesco and fingers crossed they will be fortunate?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is all part of the Strong Starts programme that's funded by Tesco that we work with them on, making sure that commitment to communities reaches the people who need it the most. And I think we're all now familiar with the blue token voting system in Tesco stores, which determines the level of funds received by local projects that have applied and made their way through the system. So if you are in a Tesco store between 12 and 1 on Saturday, then you might get a tap on the shoulder by one of our team members. You might be invited to find a golden token, which could help a school or community group win a share of £500,000. So each of these tokens is worth £5,000 to the lucky recipients. That will be one of the projects that's already being advertised and promoted in store.
And those golden grants, of course, are reaching 100 locations across the UK, looking to result in £6 million being provided for helping over a million young people to thrive in schools, breakfast clubs, after-school clubs, sports clubs, and so on. So, I mean, you must feel pretty pleased with how this whole project's developed.
Absolutely. Being on the receiving end of the grant applications that get submitted by local groups is quite a humbling experience, actually. It's the level of commitment and creativity being shown by people right across the country is phenomenal. And I think we all know people in our communities who step up to lead these clubs and activities, whether that's an inspirational teacher in a school or a committed sports coach. But I think sometimes offering gratitude is not enough. What they need is the practical support, the funds to make sure the activities that they run are safe, healthy, high quality. And that's why we want to do everything we can to make sure they get the backup they need from schemes like Stronger Starts.
Now, it's fair to say not every Tesco store is actually taking part in this particular event this Saturday. So don't just sort of go around and expect it to be the case. Where can people actually find out about the places that actually are taking place or taking part in the Golden Grants Lucky Dip?
Well, certainly in this area, if you're around the Grantham Harrowby Express store, you will be in the right place, I think, in order to be in with the chance of giving your vote.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Obviously, groundwork.org.uk is also a go-to site to find out more information about the excellent work that you actually do. Are there any other sort of pointers you'd like to raise for people who may have obviously heard about this, but then thought, oh, we'd like to put our group forward, but what's the point? We're not going to win, et cetera, et cetera. Or is it a case of you can't have that attitude?
You can't have that attitude, and it's not true either. We've supported more than 50,000 projects in the last few years. So there's a huge volume going through the system all the time. The Stronger Starts programs open permanently. schools and other groups can make an application for their project online. It's really straightforward, and we've got a team of people who can help if you're struggling. Alternatively, customers and Tesco colleagues, actually, don't forget, people who work in Tesco can nominate a project that they think is worthy of supporting their local area, and we'll do the rest. You can get instructions online at tescoplc.com/strongerstarts or by just asking in store.
Makes perfect sense. And just to say, for a moment, sort of insight into the whole thing, Graham, would you like to give a score prediction for Middlesbrough versus Southampton? What do you think it's going to be?
As a West Brom season ticket holder, I have to stay entirely neutral on that. I've got my own issues to worry about.
Of course,
at the weekend.
Exactly. And indeed, you've already done your business over Middlesbrough earlier in the season. So
absolutely,
you don't have to worry from that point of view. So it's all good. Graham Duxbury from Groundwork, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. And once again, keep up with the excellent Groundwork work.
Thanks very much.
Well, I felt we had to have some kind of optimism, so that's why we had Graham Duxbury there talking about a great event that takes place on the 23rd of September, if you happen to be supportive of that supermarket beginning with T and ending in O. And of course, it's a good community cause as well. Shockingly, as you heard, he was a West Bromwich Albion supporter and decided to actually take a diplomatic avoidance for any prediction for the Southampton game that's coming up. But thankfully, Fly Me to the Moon is going to continue with its unashamedly Borough-biased scenario for however long we maintain our current manager. We've got a trio of top folk in already. We have Sean with us. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. We've got the Barclays, of course, Thomas and Chris. How are you, Thomas?
I'm very well, thanks.
And how are you, Chris?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. And hopefully connecting now, we've got Jenny Finch indeed from the wonderful Irish land of Tipperary. Welcome, Jenny. How are you?
I'm fine, Alex. How's everybody doing?
Well, I think we've had probably the more optimism in the last 30 seconds of intros that we've had in Borough's journey so far. Let's turn to Sean first and foremost. Is it going to be a traditional, well, it's autumn, so it's time Borough changed our manager again?
I hope not. Obviously, I understand a lot of the despair and the disappointment with the results so far. Personally, I don't see really what we gain from bringing somebody in and starting again. I think as frustrating as it is, I think we've got to don't want to bring out a cliche already, but just the process. And we are trying to do something with the club a little bit different. There's been a raft of new players brought in, and it would be probably naive of us as supporters, however excited and giddy we get in a new season, to think that that would just, you know, those players would just come on and we'd kick on from last season's success. I just think we've maybe got to temper it. Maybe I didn't expect to temper it this much. I thought we'd have got more points on the board, but I think we've got to stick with him and see it through.
Well, Chris, I think you're one of the few people who will remember the phrase that used to be much used by managers around about this time, which is along the lines of, I never look at a league table until we've outplayed at least 10 matches. So we've only played 7, so maybe we shouldn't just look at the league table. But what are your thoughts, Chris, in terms of what's been developing? I mean, it does seem as though Michael Carrick is trying. He effectively brought on Josh Coburn against Sheffield Wednesday. He rested Emmanuel Latte-Lath. He juggled a few other things around from that point of view. Is it a case of, yeah, you know, trust the process?
I think that there hasn't been any clamour, I don't think, for the head of Carrick yet. But I think there is still serious concerns about the amount of time it seems to have took for the team to gel. I think what characterised our good form last season was we seemed to, like, that first 11 would name itself when there wasn't any injuries. But it seems as though in trying to get that kind of that winning formula, he's rotated the team quite a lot, even when there hasn't been injuries. And I think it would be nice if he kind of has a firm 11 in his head, if he maybe runs with that, because I think the sort of the cohesiveness and the confidence, I think it's clear to see that it's one of the things that's lacking at the moment, I think.
Yeah, the spinning the wheel and hoping for the best. I mean, I think most of us were fairly shocked at the 2-0 reversal against Queen's Park Rangers, especially given what Tony Mowbray's team did to them only recently. Rob, are you in a state of despair, distress? Is it a case of we've been there before, or is it a case of, as I saw on one message board, well, we're sucked into a time vortex going all the way back to the old third tier, so we can start off Flying to the Moon all over again?
Yeah, I hope not. We've actually got a feature this season which is looking at the two third division or third tier seasons. We don't want a third tier season. It's a very difficult division to get out of these days for all sorts of reasons. And you mentioned Sunderland, and they took quite a long time to get out of it. But I'm not despairing, but I was at half-time, actually. I'm saying I'm not despairing now, but I was at half-time at Hillsborough because I was quite an inept performance that first half. Not just because we were so poor, but because we were playing against a team that were quite terrible and couldn't...
Did you get a tennis ball, Rob? That's what I need to know. Did you get a tennis ball?
Well, they couldn't even protest properly, Alex. That was the point. It was only about 30 or 40 tennis balls in total on the pitch. So everything that they did, you know, they couldn't keep the ball on the pitch. The only ball they could keep on the pitch was tennis balls, as you say. But fortunately, we did come back in the second half. We did score a goal, but then we took the foot off the gas again, and we let them back into it, and they might have scored at the end. But so it was a really big opportunity to get that win. And I think, as has been said, that there's a lot of reasons why we got into this situation. And now confidence is the big factor. And I think that's what the game is that Carrick's trying to do. He's trying to get behind his players, say that they're all really good, that it'll just be a matter of time, because he knows that heads are dropping. And that can be a dangerous rut to get in, but you know, we've had injuries to big players in that team, and we've also had players coming in who, frankly, it looks like it's too big a jump from the divisions that they've played at and the countries they've played in. It's just one or two rungs too far up the ladder for them to jump in one go.
To be fair, you've got Morgan Rogers, former Manchester City lad, so he might do something when he gets a bit of a run in the side. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Thomas, let's look at enthusiasm and drive. Can you lift us anymore? Because I know Jenny's going to say, well, this is why I support rugby union, in particular Steve Borthwick. At least we don't have the agony of being a Borough supporter from that point of view. Thomas.
Well, it is very difficult. I mean, Given the sort of start to the season that we've had, I was trying to think back and look at some of the starts but the difficult patches managers have had in the past, which have been turned around. And I was thinking back to a time when Karanka was manager in his sort of first 6 months in the job, when we had a period of about seven games without a goal, when probably a lot of people were looking at that team and thinking, is this a team which is really going to get promoted in the near future, and I think probably we were feeling quite dispirited about the team at that point. We'd had another season which was looking like a write-off for promotion, and things did turn around. I think that the team as a whole became a lot more cohesive. I mean, obviously everyone remembers those Karanka teams for being built from the back, but things did turn around. You know, we made some good acquisitions in that summer, and the team became a lot more whole. But I think that, you know, the way that Carrick has always been in press conferences and in speaking to the media is he is quite tight-lipped, but mainly about the sort of, he doesn't want to be drawn on speculating about anything really, you know. And I think that's right. You know, what benefit would we have to have a manager who's going to make promises that he's not going to keep, and he's well aware that all of the products come on the pitch, and he clearly has confidence that things turn around. I think that line about the performances aren't matching the results, probably we had a bit more patience with a month ago than we do now. But who knows? I mean, Southampton are a team that haven't had a great few games. Last few games, no win in three after a decent start. So we do have a chance, for sure. We're at home. we need to try to get that home form back, which carried us through two sort of tilts at playoffs in under Wilder and then Carrick last year. So fingers crossed.
A phrase I never thought I'd be saying this early on in the season, but I think needs to be said. Neil Warnock is now available. I'm just saying. Let's turn to Jenny. Any thoughts from your own point of view as one of the overseas fans of Middlesbrough? Were you in any sense expecting this record-breaking, for all the wrong reasons, start to the championship season for Middlesbrough Football Club?
No, not at all. I know that, you know, they had to let the loan players go and lost a couple of really good ones, but nothing as bad as this. This is a... It looks like a bit of a car crash. I think if anyone can turn it round, Carrick can. And I think if he can keep the faith of the players and the fans are a little bit patient, I think we could at least hope for mid-table mediocrity, maybe a little higher. But when I think that they were knocking on the door of the Premiership, what, how many months ago? Just a few. And now this? What? Mm. No, it's I never expected anything as bad as this.
Rob, what are your thoughts in terms of Michael Carrick? I mean, clearly he was the golden boy. We're now getting lots of lines saying, well, he's blown his audition for Manchester United's ex-boss. Any sort of thoughts from yourself? Do you feel as though he's there, or is it a case of, well, maybe we should swap with Ten Hag?
The one thing we don't want to do, Alex, is swap another boss in October. And October is obviously just round the corner. And I guess that's a big question for the club, is why do we always make such a terrible start to the season? And obviously this time we've broken all records. We've way surpassed what we experienced last season under Chris Wilder. But it's season after season. And so we're going to have to look at the recruitment. We're going to have to look at the policy with loan players, various things like that. But that can all wait. We just need to win a match first. But I think Carrick's calm demeanour, which is obviously it's not an act. It's the way he lives his life. And what he's saying is that he never gets carried away. And he didn't get the only time he got carried away last season, I noticed, really was when we beat Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, and he was really excited then because we thought we might catch them. But that was the only time, really, that he showed that emotion after a game. And so he's a level-headed guy, and that hopefully everyone he's assessing things quietly and getting on with it, and that's going to be our strength, I think, still.
Sean, there's been a lot of flack also directed, of course, at Steve Gibson, support, all sorts of other aspects related to that. I mean, it's inevitable. There are a lot of people who are Borough supporters who are quite rightly frustrated that apart from the Carabao Cup run, and of course we've got Bradford to deal with in the near future, it's been a frustrating start.
Yeah, it has been a frustrating start, and like some of the other guys have alluded to, that there's lots of different reasons for that. Yes, we could say some of the players haven't really taken their chance and stepped up yet. I do think as well what Chris was saying is a valid point in that I think we've used 23 players in the league already this season, and not having that settled side, I think maybe in hindsight, which is a wonderful thing, we could have brought some of these young players that are coming into a new league, and quite often with some of them they're coming from a different country as well, and the culture and the different style of football is difficult to grasp. I think we could have introduced them gradually with maybe a core base of players that know the Championship. Even your likes of Isaiah Jones, Marcus Force, who've had at least a full season in the Championship and know what to expect. They can cope with the hustle bustle of Championship football. I just think they've all been pitched in there. I think there was one game where we had maybe five or six new faces who had not played in that league before. And it's hard enough having to sort of gel with new teammates, but in a new league in a new country as well. I think there's a few snap judgments being made, and I think there are one or two good talents in there, but we have to really nurse them through that progression. That being said, we do need results. And so one way or another, we're going to have to find a way to win football matches. And if that's not aesthetically pleasing on the eye, then so be it. I think we need points.
Rob, you could argue that Borough showed wonderful largesse, given that it was Blackburn's 5,000th league game, to allow them to actually take all 3 points. And indeed, given that Matty Crook's goal was, I think, just a teeny tiny bit offside. Maybe, you know, it was a case of so be it. But, you know, after QPR, Blackburn Rovers, obviously Sheffield Wednesday, have you seen signs of improvement? Or was it a case of, as with Sheffield Wednesday, a game of two halves and so on?
Well, we've mentioned before, we thought we'd seen signs of improvement in the League Cup. And then I thought that there were some positives to take out of Blackburn's historic game afternoon, in the fact that it looks like Crooks was a mile offside from the still photographs, but it's weird actually, because the linesman clearly signalled to the crowd that he was right in line, and he signalled like that, so doesn't say much for him. But yeah, we played quite impressively in that second period, but then we just didn't take it into Sheffield Wednesday at all, and it was almost like we'd gone back. It was one of the worst performances by a Borough side I'd seen in years, and so we've got to say we did. Obviously, Lenihan scored for us. We did put a battle up in the second half. We looked more the team. And I think that's based on things like what Sean was saying, that Isaiah Jones came on, and he surely has to start, not be an impact sub. We went back to sort of players that we knew we could rely on, and that we knew that could do a job. Hopefully, Force, Sean mentioned Force as well. Hopefully, he's going to be fit for Saturday. We think he is. And I think it's right to play a lot of these players. I also think, and I don't think it'll happen, but that Hayden Coulson was taken out of the team at left back, and we put in two guys who have come from lower leagues in Europe, and it's asking a lot. And I think Coulson should have stayed in that side longer, and I still think he should be back in the side, to be perfectly honest. So we need to be solid, but also we know that we're going up against another side under pressure, another manager under pressure, and this time we've got to take advantage of that.
Well, they don't have James Ward-Prowse because obviously he's now with the Hammers, and you could argue only 16 points adrift of Ipswich and Leicester City. I mean, Jenny, do you feel it? Are they over the hills and far, far, far away? Or is that a case of 16 points? No worries at all. We're just going to get on a run now.
Anything can happen over the season, but it's a big, big ask. It's a big ask to get back up there, to get even into contention. Sides have bad start, but this is a really very bad start when you look at it. It's a bit of it's a car crash, this one. If they can get some decent loan players and bed in the players they've got, and I think the points about continuity of teams it are very good. As a rugby fan, this is one of the things I've had about the England team. They have not got their best team. They haven't chosen the best team, and they stick with people who are way past their best, so they're never going to get their best team. I think they need to choose something, settle with it, and make it gel so they work together and at least get themselves out of the mess they're in, get a bit of respect going, get some good loan players in, and see where it takes them.
And of course, England did beat Argentina with drop goals, amongst other things. Who would have thought it? England playing drop goals in the World Cup. It's like being back in 2003 all over again. Rob, press conferences. What's the vibe? I mean, in terms of Michael Carrick, does he kind of give that calm, measured, enthusiastic? I mean, you said you were obviously well taken with Chris Wilder for the short period he was with us, etc. But what is the kind of vibe with respect to Carrick?
Carrick's trying to be exactly the same as he was last season. I mean, he's being honest with his answering, but he's coming across as calm and considered. He did point to at this week's press conference. There was an awful lot of people there actually on Thursday, so not everybody was They normally televise it afterwards or show the video. And there was two people not shown. I was one of them. And the other person, he did mention the fact that the form had dropped. Carrick said himself, admitted that the form had dropped at the end of last season, the last few games. So I followed that up immediately and said, is the fact that Johnny Howson was injured in the warm-up at Rotherham, I think a lot of us think that that was really very important for the way that for the way that we ended the season, that our captain wasn't playing. And then our captain has been missing. He was missing through most of the summer. He didn't train very much. And I think he is still a key element, that he's still not looking himself. And if we could get him back on the pitch and playing as the Johnny Howson that we know, then it could make all the difference. And it makes all the difference to all the players around him as well, because of his experience and because of the way he directs play, etc. But Michael Carrick is playing it the same way as he did last season. He's being calm. He's saying that we do need a win, obviously, but he believes in the players and he believes that that win will come.
I've heard it said on another podcast that I believe the British Broadcasting Corporation are proud to do. It certainly features a chap called Madison and various other folk. But he was arguing that actually it is the defence that's the problem. I mean, Thomas, that goes back to your line of maybe the days of Aitor Karanka and actually building from the back needs to be applied. As we head into a three-game sequence, which could lead to, you know, a place in the fourth round of the Carabao Cup and 6 points, do you think, you know, the defence does need to be really focused on as opposed to trying to replace Tuba Akbom, Cameron Archer and others?
Well, I think that a few people have used that old John Major line, back to basics, over the last few weeks. And it is true to some extent that when you lose key players like that, that you do have to consider where you build the team from. But I think it isn't even as complicated as that. I think if you look at last season, the amount of goals that we conceded was in many ways what kind of undid us in the end in terms of a promotion campaign. So I think that it would certainly be wise to try to focus on that, particularly with, you know, so, you know, 23 players at this point in the season having experimented with those is a very high amount. So I think that it would be wise for us to try to shore up in the defence. But yeah, it is very hard to say. I mean, you know, that issue that we've had this season, which has been such a discontinuity of players. You know, when you look at some of the teams that have started better in the Championship, even those that like Leicester that have come down, the players that keep cropping up and delivering those important performances are those that are very steady players. They've been there last season. You know, people like Vardy, whatever, who've done well and done a job so far. We do need that kind of. We do need a semblance, even if it's not a reality. We do need a semblance of stability, I think. And that would certainly be our hope for the next few weeks, if we can settle on a bit more of a familiar starting 11, because that was so important to what we were able to do last year.
Southampton have, of course, lost their last three games. Interestingly, the other team that came down, Leeds United, seem to be very patchy in terms of draw, win, draw, win, draw. Obviously, they'll be looking to get some traction on this. I mean, Rob, from the point of view of Middlesbrough's current position, I say 2 points from 21, which, as Jenny said, is a car crash. Does it effectively have to be a case of the season starts here?
Yeah, I think we've said that every match, but yeah, we need to get a result tomorrow, and then things can look quite a lot better, because we've got the League Cup game in midweek at Bradford, so we could sort of use that result as a springboard, and some of those players with a little bit more confidence, perhaps win at a team that we actually drew in a pre-season game, you know, back in August, and if we could, so that would effectively mean two wins in a row, wouldn't it? And that would put us in a better shape for
some
big battles ahead. Big, yeah, I know Watford exactly. I think we're all aware. All of us aware that we've actually played a lot of the opponents we've played a fellow strugglers, and the fact that, as you said about QPR, we didn't finish them. We got well trounced by them in the end. Huddersfield we drew with, and then Sheffield Wednesday drawing with. So we're now going to have to really raise our game and take it to the teams that we think are going to be contested at the top.
I always think the QPR manager Ainsworth looks like a sort of a former status quo or rock guitarist. I feel it's just something in his attitude, really. But that's for another line.
Alex, he's brought out an album not long ago. He's a singer. He's got his rock band.
There we are. Exactly. Yeah. This is the message. I did half in jest, half tongue in cheek, suggest Neil Warnock is available. Let's turn to Sean on this one. I mean, I was thinking as a kind of Terry Venables emergency stopgap to come in. Would that work, or is this a case of don't be crazy? They're never going to work together. That's as crazy as saying Jonathan Woodgate will be defensive coach with Michael Carrick. Oh, hang on a minute. Anyway,
not for me. I think once that happens, as we saw with Terry Venables and quite an unselfish route that Brian Robson went down to try and put the club first. But I think once that happens, it undermines the position of the guy in charge. But just to pick up on what Rob said, he made a really good point that about Howson, which I'll come to in a minute. But I love the way that Carrick does diffuse a situation and take the pressure off his players. But I also think that we've struggled to set a real intensity, especially in first halves in the games this season. And I think Howson, that's where he comes into his own, because it might be a tackle or it might be just the way that he zips about the pitch, but he has an infectious nature and he sets the tone and he really dictates the tempo and the pace of the game, and we've missed that. And I think we've gone behind in every league game that we've played this season. And I think that intensity is important. If it doesn't come from someone who is really calm and, as he called it, stays level in Carrick, I think we need a Woodgate or a Leadbitter maybe to sort of inject that intensity into the team, because we just didn't see that in the first half against Sheffield Wednesday. And for me, it wasn't even so much the quality. It was that intensity and sort of willingness to get in people's faces and press hard and just show that you care for the club. So I'll be looking for an improvement, at least in the first half against Southampton.
Chris, any thoughts from yourself in terms of the overall discussion that we've had so far? Or is it a case of, well, personally, I'd like to see Darren Moore come to Borough?
I think I agree with what Sean said about that intensity, really. And I think that's probably cost us in pretty much every game this season, because we just seem to be so slow starting and we don't even sort of even step up a gear, it doesn't seem, until the other team have scored. And I think it is a worrying thing that, as Rob refers to, that we have played against a lot of struggling teams. I think the Millwall game and the QPR game, I think that they probably come hoping that might get a point, and then they probably saw, we've got a chance of three here, and sure enough, they ended up coming away with 3 points. And I think referring back to our sort of defensive frailties, I think Carrick doesn't need to change the sort of his DNA in the way he plays. We just need to do the simple things like stop people getting crosses in and not give people too much space in the box. I think in that sense, we need to go back to basics, not a major overhaul in the way we play, because we're committing the same mistakes in every game. And I think that's where we really need to tighten up on, I think.
Okay, Jenny, before we go for predictions, any thoughts from yourself in terms of we clearly need results. We've got to say this trio to wrap up September, starting off with the home game against Southampton, then the cup game against Bradford City, and then, of course, September ends away to Watford at Vicarage Road.
Yeah. I agree entirely that you need an intensity. You have to go out there and you have to show you're willing to play and you're willing to push. I mean, you were joking about the drop goals, and you're right, that was just amazing to see and almost farcical. But
George might England not have been playing if it hadn't been for the other player being sent off.
Well, yeah, precisely. 14 men against 15, a tough team, and it was almost a kind of right in your face moment, and they just went for it. And Argentina were just completely shell-shocked. And I think Middlesbrough need to do something like that. They need to just get on the pitch and go for it, preferably without getting anybody sent off if they can manage that. That would be good. But just go for it. And it does make, sometimes it comes off. And when it does, you've got 3 points and you feel really good about yourself and you can actually start beating the best. Go for it.
I don't think anybody's going to disagree with respect to that. Sean, what's your prediction for Borough versus Southampton?
I'm going to go for a 2-1. I think both teams will score. I'd like us to get a clean sheet. I really would. But I'd settle for a win, however it comes.
Tempted to go for that. I might go 2-2. Chris?
I'm going to go for a nervy 3-2.
Wow.
To Borough, of course.
Yeah. And Thomas?
Well, to go back to the England rugby thing, I mean, what have England been able to do this World Cup? And that is get through matches without putting in absolutely, you know, stunking performances, which have impressed everyone. And I think that what we've always been good at when we've had decent seasons at home is pull in those 1-0 wins, those plucky performances, which just about get us over the line. And I think that that's probably what we would be hoping for this weekend. So let's say 1-0 Borough.
Okay. And Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-1 as well. Although that'd be a very low-scoring game for Southampton, wouldn't it?
And Jenny, would you like to throw in your suggestion for this particular one?
Yeah, I've written down 2-1 as well, although Borough seem to have so many goalkeepers. Maybe they should just play them all, and that would shore up the defence, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think Sammy Dieng obviously had challenges with QPR, but who knows where he's going from that point of view. Okay, very quickly, let's say the Bradford game. Are we confident that Bradford will be put to one side, or is it a case of it's a distraction, or who knows? Sean, your thoughts on the Bradford game?
Yeah, we will be displaying a newfound confidence. I'm going to go for 2-0.
Thomas?
I like the sound of 2-0. I'll take 2-0.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just Mark Hughes in charge. So, I mean, his days are past him from that point of view, I'm sure. Chris Bartley?
2-1 to Borough.
And Rob? A trip to Valley Parade?
Yes, we drew 3-3, didn't we, when we played them? But I think it'd be 3-1 this time.
And Jenny?
Yeah, I think 3-1 as well. Go for it.
Excellent. Rob, anything else you'd like to flag up at this particular moment in time before, of course, we gather together probably ahead of the October sequence, which I think will be opening up a whole new sort of world, either ahead of Cardiff City or more likely. Well, I don't know. We've got this little matter of, I think, a team that's up the A19 that we play just before the international break, which could, of course, be a key turning point at that particular side, basically, when we take on Tony Mowbray again and his Black Cats.
Yeah. Anyway. It's looking important, that. So, yeah, we're looking ahead to that. And we won't be doing it. We haven't got a fanzine now until about 21st or something like
Birmingham
that.
City.
Yeah, yeah. We're looking forward to that when Thomas can tell us about his trip to Berlin. Union Berlin, is that right, Thomas? So we're looking forward to hearing
that's
about
right,
that.
Yeah. A small team on the up as compared to Middlesbrough, which aren't really on the up, but a small team.
Yeah, maybe it's just bounce back ability, Thomas. Maybe that's you know, it's a different line on that side of things. Excellent. And Sean, any sort of tease ahead for any articles you're currently working for Fly Me to the Moon?
All I'm going to say is I've been reading quite a lot of autobiographies of former players. So keep your eyes peeled for explosive anecdotes. Well,
yeah. and Jenny, how's the book publishing coming on? Are we up for another Jenny Finch novel?
I'm hoping to get the fifth Alex Hastings book out in the new year. And I've completed the first of one of the short stories and drafted out the other two. So there'll be a book, possibly just an e-book, of three short stories giving the back life to a number of characters.
Excellent. And Chris, whilst we're showing things that are coming up, anything you'd like to offer?
If we win a game before the next fanzine, I'm just going to go into raptures about Borough's win, probably.
There we have it. Sums up. Okay, Rob, how can people actually subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon?
Yeah, it's you can still subscribe. It's if you go to the website, fmttmborough.com, and click on fanzine shop or look for subscriptions, then there's full details there. It would be great to have you on board and mail out your fanzines.
Exactly. So to Sean Rye, to Chris Bartley, to Thomas Bartley, to Jenny Finch, and Rob Nichols, many thanks as ever. This is great. This has been Fly Me to the Moon. Rob, you know what we need to do now, and I know it may be painful, but clearly we need to put the fear of whatever into those saints who are going to be actually entering the den that they clearly will have all sorts of problems with in terms of Carrick's champions.
Yes, indeed. Yes. We might not be going... We might not be at the top end of the table, but we still want the chant out. Come on, Borough, don't we?
Well, I think so. We're only a matter of 8 points behind Southampton. Yeah. So, you know, it's just a minor thing. I mean, that dream of Jenny's mid-table mediocrity is within reach still. You know, yeah. So it's worth sort of focusing on. Anyway, Rob, after three, to you.
One, two, three. Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.